Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. Today, we are building on our Better Business Partnership series with a conversation about how CFOs can form strong partnerships with their chief customer experience officers. Businesses are increasingly prioritizing customer-centric strategies, which means a lot of investments are being made in innovation and improving the customer journey. My guest today, April Lohman, is the Chief Customer Officer at Resilinc. April is an accomplished customer success executive with 20 years of experience. She is known for driving results and transforming organizations to be customer-centric in a wide variety of industries and company sizes. She's going to talk to us about how CFOs can align financial strategies with customer-centric initiatives to drive innovation, improve operational efficiency, and foster sustainable growth. April, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm so glad that we're here talking about customer success and finance, because I think those of us who lead customer success, we're typically focused on partnering with marketing and sales, product and engineering. But what I have found is that if you have a really strong partnership with finance, it'll give you an advocate in the boardroom and in business conversations. And it also helps when there's times around debate around the budget and setting revenue goals.
I'm really looking forward to having this conversation as well. Before I jump into my questions, can you just talk a bit about your background and Resilinc, what you're doing there and what the company does?
I'm known as a transformational leader who's really focused on driving results and revenue in B2B companies that have been both private and public, with 20 years plus, oh my goodness, of experience in customer success. I've had the privilege of really building and scaling post-sale organizations. And I really try and focus on innovation around process, thinking about pricing and packaging, partner strategies, acquisitions, anything that is really going to drive customer retention, advocacy, and growth. So Resilinc is a market leader in supply chain resiliency. And what that means is that we help organizations worldwide navigate around the complexities and the uncertainty of managing their supply chain. So Resilinc is an AI-powered platform, and we use supplier-validated data that helps customers make decisions and respond and proactively manage their supply chain. And in the end, for them, what that means is that they can protect revenue, they can protect their brand, they can deliver to their customers and ultimately have a competitive advantage. So at Resilinc, I have the privilege of leading all post-sale. So that is implementation, education, CSM, account management, technical support, advisory services, supplier success, operations, and value delivery. So once the customer signs, it's my team's responsibility to ensure that the customer onboards, that they adopt, they optimize the platform, they renew, and they grow with Resilinc.
So you have a very big role, lots of responsibility. Can we start by talking about how do you define the role of a chief customer experience or chief customer officer?
A chief experience officer is really focused on the touch points. And in that case, you want to ensure that for every touch point that you have with a customer, that you're providing an exceptional customer experience. So that really means understanding who they are and really what are their respective pain points. A chief customer officer, however, is focused on customer goals and achievement of those outcomes based on the product and the service that they purchase. It's typically the exact same person. And so when I think about how to blend both of the respective roles, I'm really thinking about if I understand the pain points of the customer, why they purchased Resilinc or any other SaaS software, we're trying to connect pain point to solution. And then through the interactions that we have with customers, ensuring that we're talking about value, we're really uncovering how they're using the product, what direction that they want to go. So we constantly stay in line with the customer on their strategic direction. And so then when it comes time for the renewal process is easy, and then you've earned the right really to ask for some additional business.
In your experience, how have you worked well with finance teams and CFOs?
I consider the relationship to be a really important one. and one of mutual respect. Because from my perspective, if the CFO understands enough about what will enable the customers to be successful, then again, I've got that strong advocate in pre-sales situations all the way through board presentations. So my advice is that when you want to partner with a CFO, it's really to align on the targets in looking at what you want to accomplish from a NRR perspective and also a GRR perspective, what service targets you want to hit, what is time to value actually look like. And then if you're aligned on those respective metrics, when you're having conversations about why customers are at risk, what is driving churn or lack of ability to sign expansion, or there's sometimes can be natural conflict that occur between the sales organization and the customer success organization, you've got that objective person who's really trying to look at all the financial metrics that really matter to the growth of the business and helping to facilitate or negotiate in some cases between the CRO and also the CCO. So I've just found that if I take the time to really partner with our, you know, CFO, then it makes things a lot easier when we run into challenges with specific customers. And in fact, early in my career, it was a CFO that I went to when I started leading just the customer success management part of the organization. I didn't really understand all the financial metrics. This was, of course, many years ago. And so I went to that person who's now a CEO at a particular company. And I said, can you help me understand how these targets got set, how you're measuring them? Because that'll make me better at my job in managing to those metrics. And that individual taught me a lot about how to think about NRR and GRR and connecting between the service we're delivering and how you price and package, and then how you want to recognize revenue.
It is such an important connection point, as you've just mentioned, in terms of, okay, what are these targets? We have these net revenue retention targets or our gross retention of customers. And you're right, there's a negotiation and a put and a take that needs to happen as you're setting what these targets are, how much to invest in it. But it starts with coming from a common understanding about the business, the customer, and the financials. And it's only by coming, I think, together and sharing with one another what we're seeing that you really can help to drive the business forward. I think this is a critical relationship for our business partnership to happen and for us to be really walking hand in hand and understanding what we're seeing. Because at the end of the day, customers are so critical to the business, and us making sure we're doing right by them and understanding what we need to do that is key to success.
If you're onboarding, launching, managing customers appropriately, you can actually see faster growth and your cost to acquire that additional new business is less than it is to go and acquire similar dollars from a net new prospect.
Definitely less expensive to keep a customer than to try to get a new one. Now, let's talk for a moment about friction points, because inevitably there will be friction between finance and your organization. What have you seen be the most common friction points?
I think the most common friction point, at least in my experience, occurs when there's a significant delta between the tops-down target and then the bottoms-up target around what we can achieve with respect to retention and expansion. So in that case, you know, obviously anybody that is dealing with a VC or you're a public company or even private equity, you're going to have a tops-down target likely that all of those respective stakeholders are desiring you to achieve. And so I think to navigate this type of situation, because this happens to me almost every year until I build that really solid relationship with the CFO, is that I will seek clarity on how were the targets set, what data points were used, how far historically have we looked at what the achievement of quota, retention, expansion, et cetera. And then what I'll do is I will take a look at and do a bottoms-up forecast on where we are with respect to risk, where are we at with respect to renewals, what are the trends that we're seeing, where have we won, why did we win, why did certain customers churn, why did they contract, et cetera. And if I use all of those data points and I share those data points with the CFO, we can get to a reasonable target. And I love stretch targets. So I'm not suggesting that there not be stretch targets. But I think that if you take a very data-driven approach, and for every CFO that I have had the privilege of working with, oftentimes are very much a data-driven person. So if you come together with that tops down and bottoms up, you can get to what is a reasonable target for all the metrics that really matter in driving the business. And then secondarily is to make sure that you're transparent about the results that you're achieving and where you're actually struggling. Because if the CFO, the CRO, head of the CMO all can come together and understand why we have the results that we do, you're collectively as a part of the leadership team going to be able to solve those respective challenges that you have.
Sometimes there's a friction that arises between finance, marketing, and CCO over spending on customers for things that can be hard to tell the ROI of. I'm thinking things like swag or events. How have you looked at that, or what have you seen work in terms of an approach to help get unstuck and make sure the business is investing the right amount, but not wasting money on things that aren't really going to matter to the customer?
Come together and decide what's the goal of the event, or what's the goal of providing the swag. And if the goal of the event is to bring the customers together for helping maybe close a new booking, or helping to share best practices, or to provide feedback on a product roadmap, or for it to be a user group, or for you to help set the strategy for the product direction, you know, a year out, 2 years out, 3 years out, the ROI for that is really powerful because you're creating a sense of community. And oftentimes, if you're bringing prospects and customers together, it might actually help expedite a deal. So first thing I would say is look at what's the goal of what it is that you're actually trying to accomplish and set what the KPIs are. Yes, some are going to be super fuzzy and some of them are going to be more concrete. The ones that are concrete have a lot to do with, did that event help close that deal in a shorter time frame at a higher ARR? If the event is anything that is, you know, more product related, user group related, a lot of businesses expect that if you're a SaaS company, you're going to be providing those types of experiences. So if it helps your product team collect requirements, as an example, or you get a sense of a community where customers can start to help each other, those things are a lot less fuzzy, but they do ultimately contribute to a customer having an attachment to your business. Let's talk about swag, because swag is always a big fight within the organization. There's nothing more fun than giving a customer a t-shirt or a mascot and then seeing that mascot in the video, or them wearing their t-shirt. And in a lot of cases, like, that may not be ROI per se in terms of you retaining revenue, but it just might be, because a lot of customers, especially if they're your super users or they're your day-to-day users that might not be a super user, but if they feel an association with your brand, then you're going to be more likely able to retain them, to drive adoption, get them to use more, quite honestly, for them to give you feedback. I've been in some organizations where during COVID, we set care packages. And I think that because of that was such a significant time period for all of us, and many of us were struggling, the care package was a really nice to have to let them know that we hadn't forgotten them as customers. But I think that you can go overboard with respect to swag. But I think the t-shirts, or if you have a company mascot, that can be really, really, really powerful. I worked at one company where we had a mascot. That mascot was beloved by our customers. And that mascot would show up at events. And I swear, people would run down the escalator to get their picture taken with the mascot. Or they would take the mascot different places when they went on vacation, and they would post pictures in, you know, social media. I took the mascot here and then here, and they would send pictures to their family. So I think that if you can use swag to further your brand and to build a personal connection between your company and the users who are using your company, it is absolutely, absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth it. But again, I think a lot of customers will appreciate the sentiment. And so when I think about swag, it doesn't need to be a $100 t-shirt. You know, it could be a $15, $20 t-shirt that is, by the way, if it's co-branded and you're allowed to do that, to have both your logo and the customer's logo on it, who would not wear that?
What are some of the challenges that CCOs often face that CFOs or their teams can provide support for?
I always appreciate it when a CFO offers to help with reporting and also deal desk challenges. So when I think about reporting, there's a ton of metrics that a CCO needs to manage too. And those metrics can come from Salesforce. They can come from a CS tool. Sometimes those tools don't talk to each other very well. And so you want to make sure that when you're looking at the metrics, you're looking at revenue, you're looking at service targets, you're looking at deal velocity, you're looking at forecasting for renewals and also expansion, is that if you have consistent data, clean data, I know that's really, really hard, but if you have consistent data in the systems that you're using for reporting, and then the CFO and the finance organization can support in looking through the data, making sure that we don't have deltas, or if we have deltas, we're exploring why we have those deltas, then I have confidence when I'm going into an EL, you know, an executive leadership meeting or into a board meeting or even into an analyst meeting, that I have confidence in the data and that we're all aligned. I think the second thing is around deal desk. In most organizations that I've had the opportunity to work in, deal desk is owned by finance. And I really appreciate finance owning the deal desk, because that is going to be an objective person who is looking at all the attributes of the deal. And in some cases, you know, if your new bookings is down, your revenue is not quite what you need it to be, you will get a little creative on the deals that you're bringing into the door. And so for me, the finance person can kind of help balance between the CRO and the CCO to ensuring that we're making the right decisions for the business. And then lastly, I've had a fortunate experiences where the CFO has been willing to partner with me on conducting some data analysis that might drive segmentation analysis that might help us figure out, do we want to go into a particular market, what that market might end up costing us to serve, et cetera. And so those types of analysis really help support the strategy of customer success and figuring out the types of deals that are coming in the door, how do we want to service those deals, and then where we might want to expand.
And so you've worked with a few CFOs along the way through the years. What are some of the traits that have been the best traits of the CFOs, the strongest CFOs you've worked with?
Customer empathy is number one. I love it when a CFO wants to join a customer call or go to a customer event or even attend like a user group. The more everyone across leadership understands customers, then I think the more customer-centric organization you're going to be. Number two is partnership. I so appreciate when I have a strong partner on the other side that is going to challenge me, because if you can challenge me on the ways that I'm thinking, then I know that the solution that we're going to come to together is actually going to be stronger than just me individually thinking about how I might be able to want to solve a problem. And I think lastly, it's understanding just what are the motions that happen in post-sale. What does it really mean to onboard and launch a customer? What does it mean to support that customer, to grow that customer, and then to renew and try and expand that customer? Customer success is a balance between what the customer defines as value, your ability to deliver against that value, and then the experience that you want to deliver. I'm not a customer success leader that believes make the customer happy should be the goal. And oftentimes I will hear a lot of other ELT members and other functions say, well, the customer's not happy. And my perspective is, well, our goal is not to make them happy. Our goal is to make them successful, solve their business problems, and deliver value. And so when I think about the CFOs, understanding that the customer experience and what it takes to deliver that experience in addition to the numbers makes that CFO a stronger leader and partner in being a customer-centric organization.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize their productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
Makes that CFO a stronger leader and partner in being a customer-centric organization.
There is tension that arises, especially around budget times or how much can we spend to fix a problem or put into supporting our customers. Have you had an example that you could share where by coming together with both of these parts of the organization, you were able to make data-driven decisions that improve the customer experience, but also impacted better financial performance?
There's a plethora of customer insights. You get insight into the deal. You get insight into the difference between what the customer thought they were buying and then what it is that you're actually delivering. And then once they exit out of implementation, you should have a really solid understanding of what the customer is trying to accomplish because that's what you implemented them to. And then following that then is how are you driving adoption? How are you staying aligned and with their executive strategy or their strategic direction? How you're staying aligned and driving adoption so that over time you can solve their business challenges as they evolve and as your respective product and software evolves. And so when I think about the insights, it's ensuring that as the CCO, you're providing the leadership team, which you know includes the CFO, the insights into exactly customer health, where they're challenged, where they are successful, and in situations where unfortunately you do lose the logo or there's actually a contraction, is to make sure that the whole organization is learning from that experience. Because you'll want to start to identify patterns. And if you identify patterns, that is going to help you with forecasting. That is going to help you with planning. So if you are a business that is dealing, that has a, when you look at the segmentation or the markets that you're pursuing, you'll want to understand which ones are ICP and which ones are non-ICP. And you should have different targets for ICP versus non-ICP. And in some cases at ResLink, we are experimenting with non-ICP customers because if we can make those customers successful, it opens up a whole new market of additional customers that we can go and acquire. So I think those types of insights can help with financial forecasting, growth of the company, as well as planning for ultimately where you're going to be successful versus where you might be challenged or you might need to experiment in order to figure out if it's going to be a market and a type of customer that you can serve longer term.
One of the things that I've experienced is as finance works with IT and across the business to figure out what systems we should implement and how do we make sure we're prioritizing those investments the best way, often it will come up that, well, we need more systems to help us get a better handle on our customers and our health and as they're making their way through the journey. How do you think about systems and what needs support or what can be prioritized or isn't quite a priority as you think about the evolution of the company to make sure that you're helping get the right investments that are going to move the needle for the business?
For me, it's all in the spirit of what's going to help support an exceptional customer experience, knowing our customer journey, that is going to help the team be effective and efficient at delivering that exceptional customer experience. So oftentimes you will want some type of CS tool that will layer or at least be integrated with Salesforce so that there is data that's being pushed back and forth between both of the systems so that if you have your sellers operating out of Salesforce and you have your customer success management team, your implementation management team using a CS tool, then each of them can operate in the tool that they need to day to day. But with the data integrations bidirectionally flowing back and forth, you have accuracy around data and customer health and insight into where the expansion opportunities lie. When I think about Salesforce customer success tool, I think other tools that are really helpful to customers and also to chief customer officers and CSMs and account managers in particular, is that you'll also want to look at, you'll need a case management solution in order for your technical support organization to answer how to break fix questions. I also have found a really critical system to use is community. I love having a customer community. If a customer community sits at the front of your case management system, and that community is used to engage with customers around release notes, product ideas, searching through a content in order to get their answers faster before having to submit a case and wait for an agent to answer it, you're going to deliver a better experience to your customers. So, and in the end, if you do it in the right way and you've got the right content, customers will be able to self-serve and help themselves, which then leads to a better experience because, again, they're not waiting on an agent. And some customers will contribute content and help each other. And I think if you can build like a sense of community with your customers helping each other, it just makes your brand stronger. It makes your product stronger. The other last tool that I use to help support customer onboarding and also the customer journey following that is a learning management system. Learning management system is where you can post content for your customers to take training around the product. It could be industry specific. It could be content that's related to a function or an industry. And what we found through the learning management system that we've launched at ResiLink is that not only are we providing product-related content, but we're also providing industry-related content. So for our users who are new to the industry, they can actually ramp a lot faster, both in terms of their industry knowledge, as well as ResiLink product knowledge, which then is going to help them in their career. So those are the systems that I use that help the organization be much more efficient and effective, as well as supports the customer journey and the experience that we're trying to deliver.
Excellent. And I think it's helpful for, you know, folks in the finance team to understand what are these things, what's the business impact it's having, and how is it helping you be more efficient and delivering more value to the customer. So thank you for walking me through that. Now, one of the other things I find interesting about your role is that you sit at this intersection of so many things happening in the business. You're the voice of the customer. You're trying to make sure you really understand what they need, but you alone cannot solve all of it. You need product. You're dependent on what your CRO is selling, how marketing is marketing it, how your finance team is supporting this. So what have been some of the best methods that you use to be quarterbacking all of this and helping align the business to help make sure that you're ultimately getting what the business needs for the customer?
Really strong personality. I'm teasing. I was in a meeting earlier today and I was talking about something that I found incredibly frustrating about the delta between what the customer was sold and what the customer was buying. And I was describing the situation and what I thought we needed to do it. And our CRO posted a picture of Wonder Woman and said, "Don't mess with April." I thought that was really funny. And I've been at ResiLink for 6 months now. So the fact that that hasn't shown up earlier might be a surprise to some people who know me, but the fact that it has shown up is probably not a surprise to the people who. I think when you get the privilege of being a voice of a customer, it can be tough. Some customers they can be hard to work with, but ultimately I look at feedback as a gift. And I also look at it as they're just trying to get their job done. They're just trying to use your software in order to solve a problem. And so I look at customers and if you're a customer-centric organization and you're listening and you're learning and you're incorporating their feedback and you have the opportunity to go back and say, "Hey, you inspired us. Therefore, we delivered X," or "We changed this particular service because you said Y," that you're going to get that customer advocacy. You're going to get the opportunity to expand with a customer. So I'm super clear that While I have the privilege of leading the post-sale organization, my second area of responsibility is to be the voice of the customer. So for every customer conversation I'm in, I'm sharing the notes, I'm providing the action items, I'm connecting what our customers are saying and doing to how do we sell, how do we market, how do we support those customers, how do we deliver the product, and how we design and ultimately support the product from an engineering perspective. So I would say that one, being that voice of the customer means that you need to close the loop between what you're hearing from customers back to all the various functions, because you're likely going to be the team that is going to be listening to customers every single day. And if you don't take the opportunity to share the feedback that you're hearing, then you're missing an opportunity for the company to be stronger. The other thing that a CCO can do to help align the entire business around the customer is to create a customer journey map. And the customer journey map can be a powerful way to help build empathy within the organization. And in particular, I've had the opportunity to do a pretty deep, detailed customer journey map at two organizations. And interestingly enough, the journey maps are not the same. They're entirely different. They're different based on what we were selling, who we were selling to, what the customer was trying to accomplish. But one thing that they have in common is that that journey map became the foundation for the experience, how we thought about the roadmap, how we implemented the customer, even how we created documentation for how to use the product. And both of those journey maps really put the customer at the center of the journey and then walked the customer through, in effect, a evaluate and onboard, optimize and grow experience. And if you use that journey map to tie every single role within the organization around what is their part in the customer journey that ultimately makes the customer successful, you can solve a couple of problems. You can solve the notion of, well, I did my part of the job in the customer journey. I sold the deal and I don't need to worry about them anymore. No, actually you do, because the team that is going to consume that customer and onboard that customer is going to be responsible for implementing and driving value for whatever it is that you sold. So I've used customer journey mapping to align the organization, to build incredible empathy and get everybody anchored on this is your part of the customer journey. Be respectful that the customer is trying to achieve these respective goals in this part of the journey. And then lastly, the other thing that I do to align the business is I've started hosting what I'm calling customer showcases. I invite customers in to the organization where they talk about why they bought, what their business goals are. They rate us in front of everyone in the company, how they would rate whether or not we are enabling them to be successful in solving those goals. And then I actually have the customer demo how they're using the product. And it's fascinating to see product and engineering faces light up in terms of ideas about how they can make the user experience different or how they can further think about the product that we may have delivered. And so for me, you know, getting the business aligned means providing feedback, creating a customer journey that helps everybody understand what the customer is trying to do. And then thirdly, create a forum and experiences for everyone in the organization to have a direct experience with a customer. And I do that in a scalable way, again, by doing a customer showcase.
Now, if we had some first-time finance leaders listening, and maybe this is their first time working with the CCO or the office of the CCO, what would be some of your advice to them on how best to work with your team?
The first thing I would say is come talk to us. Maybe shadow us on a couple of calls. Seek to understand the customer experience, particularly around why they buy and how they want to utilize your software to solve their business problems. And I think that if you understand what it takes to win a customer, what it takes to retain and then grow a customer, and then win their advocacy, that you'll learn a lot about the health of the business, as well as then be able to think through and support the customer success organization as the business evolves over time. So we are typically not shy people. We're on the phone with customers all day. We're in the front lines. And so sometimes it can be super challenging. But I think that if you are in finance and you're curious enough, please go seek out your customer success organization. Take the opportunity to really understand who the customer is and what they're trying to do. And I assure you that it's going to make you a lot stronger in your role.
What would be just one thing that you would want finance folks to know about the CCO office that either you think they often misunderstand or just don't know about your team?
Customer success is defined differently in organizations. In some cases, the CCO may or may not own the renewal. They may or may not own professional services or implementation. They may or may not be responsible for expansion. And so don't make an assumption that you understand the scope without having a conversation with them. So, and in that conversation is say, what are you measured by? What's your scope? And actually, where can I help you with forecasting? Where can I help you with reporting? Because if the CCO owns renewals, their needs are going to be a lot different than if they don't own the renewal and the expansion number. So I would say my profession has done a very poor job in being consistent from organization to organization. And so it's worth asking the question.
Really good point, because I think it's really easy to make assumptions about different functions within the business. And oh yeah, I know what they do, but really understanding that org structure and those roles and responsibilities is a key one. So thank you for that. April, really enjoyed having this conversation with you. Whenever we have guests on the show, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask them. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your go-to strategy to stay productive during the workday?
I manage my priorities and my calendar pretty ruthlessly. That would be number one, because if you're not focused on the right things, you're not able to achieve the strategy and the goals that you have. So I'm pretty communicative with the team that I have the privilege of leading. So I find that if I provide the context and the why and the desired outcome, the team's empowered to go figure out all the sausage making in the middle, that then I can be productive because they are productive. The second trick, this is super tactical, but this helps keeps me sane, is I try and do 25-minute meetings and then 45-minute meetings so that I have a break in between, because I want to show up as my best self. And if you have back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, then oftentimes like I want to process following a meeting and then prepare, just even if it's for a moment, for my next meeting so that I can show up as my best self. And so those are two tips. I think you said I was only allowed one, but I do have one. I do have one.
Go for it.
I am maniacal about eating and also exercising. I think if you have an opportunity to eat, walk away from your desk 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then take the time to take care of yourself, then you're going to be able to take care of your family, your work. And so I try every day. No one wants to see a hangry CCO. those are the three things that I try. Sometimes I fail miserably, but then I just remember that as long as at the end of the day, I've done the best work that I can do, and I've been there for customers, and we've worked on the right things, and we've been there for each other, and we've partnered cross-functionally, hey, that's a win.
And the second question is, what helps to turn a bad day around for you?
Knowing that tomorrow's another day, and I get to start over if I need to. I think the other thing I would say is have your person, whether your person's internal or external. There's a few key people that I've had in every organization where it's a safe space to go have a conversation about, look, this is what happened. Here's how I'm thinking about it. Help me. What am I missing? How should I be looking at this differently? And I found that if I have a few of those key people, I try and not burden one person. I try to have different people that if I can go to them when I really need to articulate a particular challenge or I'm trying to work through something, that I can get through it because I know I have that. I know I have that safe space. You don't want to be the leader. I want to be a talent magnet. I want to be the leader that everybody loves to work for. And it's been kind of fun at Resily because of the way in which I'm setting the strategy for the organization and the way in which I talk about customer success. I've actually taken people from other parts of the organization and incorporated them into customer success. And I think a lot of that is because every day is an opportunity to reset. Every day is an opportunity to decide, how are you going to spend your day in the spirit of delivering value for customers and solving problems for customers? And because that is my passion area, it's pretty easy for me to focus and to not let, you know, a bad day, you know, ruin my life. And there's always wine at the end of the day.
If in doubt, there is always wine. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
April, thank you so much. Your passion, your energy, your desire to be a talent magnet, you know, they come out so strong. I know because I've worked with you in the past. Your passion is never ending for this. I know you are a talent magnet and you care so deeply. And so thank you. I really appreciate you sharing your insights with me and with our audience today.
I'm really happy that you reached out and asked me to be part of this very wonderful experience. So again, I would encourage you, if you are in the finance organization, please connect with customer success, seek to understand and partner with us so that ultimately the business will be more successful. Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. Looking for more great CFO show content? Sign up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll get a roundup of exclusive content to help you grow and drive strategic transformation. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For the CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.